Before we go further, Marilyn, I think you've got some background noise. So if you wouldn't mind muting.
Yeah. Let me take my hand down.
I already did that for you. Okay. Bella, go ahead. You're next.
Yes, thank you. George, Jorge, thank you. I want to follow the thread that Elizabeth brought out, because I didn't know we were going to plunge into the expenditure side, the P&L. So I noticed that personnel has only decreased from fiscal year 20 by 148,560, which is unacceptable, since we even had a motion passed at the PMB over 2 years ago, a mandate to reduce across the board, in particularly a KPFK, by at around 43% or somewhere in that vicinity. I do not see how this is helping us. And, you know, there's much talk. Well, we are operating with skeleton staff, but a couple of stations operate with skeleton staff, and they manage. And so I'm bringing that up because at this stage, I should be seeing a much higher deduction in that vicinity. And as well, with consultancy, I'm very concerned. And by the way, just on the medical expenses at KPFK is usually over $30,000 every month. Aggregate at the year end is astronomical, and we are a nonprofit. Did I mention that? Then on the fiscal year 21 from 20, on your consultancy. The consultancy has been increased by 26,000. That is unacceptable.
Bella, your time's up.
And then finally,
Bella, your time is up. And
well, I have one more point, and he can address all of them. And an increase.
No, you have to follow the rules like everybody else. Your time is up.
The legal fees. The legal fees. An increase on that.
You can look at the legal fees.
Okay.
You want to address this now, Jorge?
Yeah, I'll try and tackle this. So, well, recall, so in terms of your salary and personnel, I mean, again, us as the auditors, we come out and we get all your transactions and we make sure that, okay, well, if they're saying there's $2 million of personnel, we need to get comfort that that's relatively consistent in what we're seeing through looking at payroll records and all that. But with that being said, you know, because you had the Paycheck Protection Program and because you opted to go in that, you have to keep your employee counts a certain level or else you wouldn't be able to get that forgiven by the SBA. So I'm not saying that's the actual reason for why you haven't seen some decreases, but that certainly didn't help because, you know, in order to get those Paycheck Protection Program loans fully forgiven, you need to keep your employee counts to a certain level, because that was the reason for that part of the Coronavirus Act is that they didn't want folks to, or organizations, whether it's a nonprofit or for profit or whatever, to lay off their folks because of the pandemic. So again, that they incentivized organizations to say, hey, we will forgive this if you keep your employee counts relatively stable. So you were able to get these forgiven. And moving forward, you know, you could maybe in FY22, you'll start seeing some personnel decreases that are further aligned to what you all think they should be. But, you know, as a financial statement auditor, I'm looking at certain things and relationships like that. But in terms of why things are going up or why things are going down, that's not necessarily my purview. That's something where management, as well as with the oversight of the audit committee and other committees, deals with. And so, you know, again, that's not something, it's relevant in the sense that I need to make sure that things are easily explainable, but it's not relevant in the sense that, you know, just because things aren't happening based off of budget or other people's expectations, that doesn't necessarily impact the financial statement audit opinion. So, again, there's reasons for why things are going up or why things went down or why, there's some greater expenses in other categories versus what you might think they are. But it's just my job as an auditor to compile everything, make sure there's proper support and substantiation for the major events and transactions and start there and perform the audit and plan it and hopefully get enough comfort and enough support to be able to issue an opinion such as that we issued. So, again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't take issue with certain things going up or going down, but that's not necessarily my role as the outside auditor.
Thank you, Jorge. Yeah, I'll say that.
Thank you, Jorge.
That this is more of a finance-related, maybe a finance committee issue, management level decisions, and not so much an audit committee topic. Adriana, you are next.
Thank you. Thank you, Jorge. I have some questions, and I don't know if you know the answer or we need to ask George. First of all, you said that the salaries obviously decreased $150,000 in 2021. I think that happened because we have a voluntary IED, right? That we obviously needed to change because it's not the situation now. That is first. The second is, you are talking about management plans. Where is it? Did you see those? Who have those plans? Third one is, since a long time ago, in 2019, 2020, and I'm repeating it this time, I believe that when we are talking about interdivision variables, it's something that really bothers me. We have originally, I was in the PMB when that happened, KPFA loaned KPFT $100,000 for a new transmitter that KPFT really needs. After, all the discovery that we did at some point in time, KPFA have a bequest that didn't belong to them, belonged to the Pacifica Foundation, and then the repayment of that, when they made the account of what they did with that money, they put that $90,000 from KPFT. They took it from that amount because it was given to KPFT and they were supposed to come back to the national office. When I talked to our business manager, she said that everybody keeps saying that KPFT needs to pay that amount to KPFA. That is not true. We have that. And I want to know, since 2019, where is that? Is that included in the interdivision receivables or payable is there in the KPFA file? Because if it's like that, it's computed wrong. Please, we'll be shorter if you let me finish the sentence. I'm really worried. I want to know what happened with the management letter. I will wait for your answer. Thank you, George. Jorge. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead, Jorge. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, so again, there's things that flow to and from these interdivision receivables. Now, there's, and I know this isn't the best answer, but we combine everything and issue one opinion because Pacifica Foundation is one entity, even though you have different locations and different stations. So there's things that go through the interdivision receivables that we're ultimately eliminating. It's essentially eliminated in consolidation. So, I could look back and see where this actually showed up and how it flowed through, but, that's not something you're necessarily going to see in the audited financial statements because we're combining all the books and records of the stations and issuing one opinion, which is all we need to do because there's only one entity, and that is Pacifica Foundation. I understand there's sometimes things go in the wrong buckets or sometimes there's issues about where things are going, but that's that all needs to be worked out internally, because as long as I can get comfort, okay, you know, say there's 40 bank accounts and I can confirm and look at all the balances and ensure that these, whatever's in the bank accounts for all of these 40 accounts are in fact accurate and they're actually supported by reconciliations. Where those 40 accounts are, you know, are housed, it's all the same to me as an auditor, because I just need to make sure that the complete picture is accurate to a reasonable degree. So, you know, again, the inner workings, the things that are kind of going back and forth, I think you've mentioned something about $90,000. We need to look at the intercompany accounts just to essentially scan and make sure there's nothing really unusual going on there. But outside of that, everything is being combined and put into one pot, essentially, and issued that way. So I know that the answer is probably not going to be to your liking, but that's something that you all need to kind of look at internally, as to if you think for some reason a division owes another division money or something of that effect, that's something you all can look at, because I'm just more worried about it on the macro level versus the micro level, which is, again, if you want to kind of be splicing it up between each division. Now, to your second point, we do have a management letter that's drafted, and that's in process. So the management letter is also talks about the required communication, like we have to talk about delays, difficulties, stuff like that, whether or not we had any disagreements with management. That letter will be available soon, but that's not going to be presented today. But in that letter, again, that summarizes certain comments and things that we've seen in the past, and that is still being worked through to hopefully get remedied. But, you know, to save you the suspense there, there wasn't a lot of changes to the letter, or really not any new revelations or things that really shouldn't be to anyone's surprise once that letter ultimately is reviewed. But that is a separate document. We have, as long as we issue that within 60 days from the financial statement date, that's fine, but that should be available relatively soon. The idea was to get these financial statements in a position where we can get this finalized and get the tax return done, and then ultimately issue the management letter as well. So that should be occurring in short order. Once again, this is finalized, and once the tax return is done as well.
Thank you, George. I have only, Jorge, I'm sorry, I have only one thing that you didn't answer, is about, you talk about the management plans. Humans are, where, I ask if you, where they are, if you see, because you are making an opinion seeing those plans.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. I forgot about that. So those management plans, those are essentially come from management and from, you know, when I spoke with Stephanie, as well as previous executive directors, Lydia, and also, you know, again, from the oversight and, you know, looking at minutes and things that have been occurring through the committees, that's how those management plans are formulated. So again, that's something that we gather based off interviews, looking at certain minutes, certain events that we know kind of have occurred during the year through the audit process. But that's all kind of sculpted by essentially what's being told to us during the audit.
Thank you very much, Jorge.
Okay. I'm going to go before Elizabeth. Just a quick question. Jorge, I did a quick crunch of the numbers, and I don't know where I put that work, but I did see, looking at the question of functional expenses and our program expenses still being lower than our supporting services, that is admin and fundraising. So I don't know if you want to say anything about that. They're the kind of numbers that funders don't like to see very much. And I don't know if I suspect a lot of it is a question of coding. voting activities, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, ultimately, organizations, well, we have been seeing some lower rates or some, I guess I should say, some higher rates of management in general and fundraising through the last couple of years of COVID because, frankly, just the whole industry in general, there's been have more time coded or more time spent on general activities. And also, for example, if you're an association, a trade association, you're putting on a conference, your people can't put on a conference during COVID. So we've seen a lot of those ratios shift. Now, to your point, your program services are much lower than your management in general and fundraising. And that, usually you want to see that be the other way around. And that's really just a function of, where the employees are coding their time and how that's getting rolled up to the financial statements, because the functional allocation of expenses, which is generated by employee time, it is a management estimate, and that ultimately rolls up to here. So that's something certainly that you've had, you haven't had the best ratios there in the past, and that's something certainly to be looking at moving forward to see if you can, allocate and get employees to be essentially spending or coding their time more to their program service function now. But that is an estimate, and that's something that we have to take as auditors and evaluate. Again, the total personnel cost, that's not going to change. But again, where you're putting that and how that's going to show up and flow, yes, it's important to have that on here, but it's also, your 990s public information. Mm-hmm. I know you put this on your the audit on your website as well, but 990 is definitely public, and it's a good story to tell or be able to explain, why things are higher than maybe they should be. So that's something that certainly can be enhanced, and whoever comes in after NETA, or whether that's internal management or whatever, can certainly be looking at that moving forward.
Okay, I'm going to ask Sarah to go because she hasn't had a chance yet.
Okay, good evening, and thank you very much for this wonderful presentation. I'm a neophyte at audit, so consequently, I have to ask questions that are pretty basic, like how high is up and how low is the bottom. When I look at this sort of thing, then I'm thinking in terms of, let's suppose we take that 3.7 million that we are in debt by. Is that correct? Is that a good working figure?
The principal is 3.1.
Okay, 3.1. I really don't care that much. What I'd really like to know, though, if you take away all the one-of-a-kind windfalls that we've had this year, the coincidental stuff, the hey, you got lucky stuff, what are we really talking about as far as the possible? It looks like to me we're looking at about $5 million. Is that, if you take away the luck, and if we go into next year and we don't have all these windfalls?
Yeah, so it's good. It's a, if you look at 2020, you had a gain on extinguishing some of those accrued pension, about 477,000. And you can see this in the non-operating activities if you ever look at that on the same activities. So back to 2021, if you look at really your operations, that's kind of what you're controlling. And to use your words, the lucky events, or I would just say the fortunate ones, if you didn't have that, you would have probably had a loss of about almost, $450,000. So that's a good benchmark to kind of look at and say, okay, well, outside of these one-off events and these non-operating things, really, where would we have been? And so you could essentially just back out that non-operating activity to see that. Now, with that being said, some of these non-operating one-off things that have occurred, they've been, they hit your books years ago, and they were accrued or stuff was going on, and it was included in your bottom line in those years. So, Yes, there's been some fortunate things that have happened, but moving forward, if you ever did want to look at that, just look at your operations, change in net assets from operations, and that will really kind of eliminate the one-off type, non-recurring type things.
So we're realistically looking at 3.6 is what the 3.6 or somewhere around in there is the actual figure that if you take away the one-off thing. Approximately. Yeah, I'm on an audit committee, and I'm on an audit committee for the first time. So, mm-hmm. like I said, I'm trying to figure out how high is up.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, a good way to look at it is your total. I mean, even these one-off events still help your bottom line. It's just to your point, it's not recurring, or it's not going to be like a recurring revenue stream, something like that. But, you know, if you look at it this way, you're 1.2 in the hole for your total deficit organization wide. And this is a direct result of your ongoing operation. So the only way you can cut into this 1.2 million is really if you increase your donations, increase your contributions, you know, get into different revenue streams, cut your expenses where you're actually turning profits on a consistent basis. And then this is going to ultimately, hopefully flip around where you're not seeing a deficit here, you're seeing a surplus. So, you know, that's the accrual basis, and that's the results of the operations. And that's somewhat tied to your note payable, the $3.1 million of the debt that you all have, because in order to pay that down, you're going to essentially have good years of operation. So it's related in the sense that I don't think you can necessarily just say it's $5 million, but this $3 million note, that's not impacting your bottom line anymore, except to the fact that, of course, your interest payments are making your interest quite significant. And also it's impacting your cash.
Hello?
Audit and look at. So what's something else that's equivalent to this so I can get some kind of ideas, some ideas of behavior?
Well, you know, we audit a lot of C3 organizations that are supported by public donations. And so, I mean, you know, their missions might be different. I mean, but, you know, most C3s are, again, have to be supported by the general public. And, you know, so there's different types of, like, you know, Pacifica doesn't have any necessarily federal funding, stuff like that, or doesn't rely on federal funding. There's different segments of the C3 world that we audit, but, you know, I'm happy to kind of go through my deck and see, you know, what other businesses perhaps you could essentially look at to see, you know, how you can compare to it. But, you know, all the missions are going to be the same, but our missions are going to be different. But the one key factor is that they're going to be supported by the public. You know, we see it all over the place. I mean, we have organizations that we work with that are struggling financially, such as Pacifica. We have ones that are smaller than Pacifica, but that do better, and vice versa. So we kind of see it all over the place. It's just really just dependent on a lot of factors, such as, you know, some of these organizations are extremely lucky and they've cultivated these donor relationships and have a couple very large, either foundations they're working with or wealthy individuals that really help support and keep up these organizations. So, you know, there's not a there's not a right answer to everything or how things are being run by all these different organizations. But I will say that, yeah, I can certainly get a list of some organizations together, assuming that they'll let me disclose that to you and get that over to you. So that's not a problem.
I really appreciate it. And my time is up. Thank you very much. You've been very kind.
Okay, now for these follow-up questions, we just have 1 minute each. Elizabeth, go ahead.
I would like to request a little bit more than 1 minute because, I mean, this is a very difficult situation. I mean, it's difficult to be able to express oneself.
Okay, very late, though.
I understand, yes. And I do think we need to put a priority of this. And I'm very happy we have this audit, by the way. And thank you, Jorge, for being available to us to explain all this. One of the things that I'm noticing is the question that Bella had regarding the taxes, the tax assessor's office. I'm wondering if this same amount or similar amount, $427,000, I believe it was, that KPFA was owing for the building. I know that there was an issue with regard to the name and all that kind of stuff, but I don't remember this. And I spoke with LSB members at KPFA, and we don't remember having had any information regarding this issue until it came up when the building was going to be up for auction. And that's when, you know, I became aware of it and many LSB members became aware of it. So I'm wondering if that was included in the previous audits or not. Or if that information came about later on. And the other question I have has to do with the financial recovery and sustainability, the financial recovery and stabilization plan. I understand that's a management plan. That's the first I've heard of it. Of course, I'm a little bit concerned that I haven't heard about it. And the fact that it's in the audit as a recommendation is my question goes to sort of like, I'm wondering, you know, what kind of plan is in place or being thought about in terms of how to recover from this and at what expense? Because as you said, the other organizations or companies that are doing us probably have a different mission than we do. And I noticed that there's been a loss of programming as well, especially programming that's directed towards Black and brown people and communities of color. And WBAI, for example, is, according to one of the reports that was provided by somebody from the Pacifica National Board, that WBI has a demographic of about 80% people of color, listeners.
Yeah, Elizabeth, I think you made your point. I don't know if Jorge...
Can you let
Jorge, would you like to... No, I think she made her point. Jorge, is this something you can address?
I'll touch on some of the audit relevant points that you made. So, yeah, and to answer your question about the KPFA property taxes, those were accrued and included in previous audits. So the short answer is yes, that has been, those have been included in previous audits. Now, where else were you going with the question? the management plan. So, yeah, I mean, that's something that we've kind of cultivated in through interviews and inquiries and understanding how things are trying to get turned around. So, if there's something that, you know, needs to be expanded upon or whatever that, you know, again, should come from management as, you know, you all are overseeing them, which is, again, this is certainly relevant for you all or else we wouldn't be speaking. But if there's something that you really want to see in there that's not in there, then that would probably, I spoke with Stephanie last week, that would should come from her first with obviously any guidance or oversight from you all. But, you know, there's things that happen all the time. Like, so, you know, just because there's know, there's things that I think are maybe not super relevant to a financial statement audit that are trying to, that you all are trying to deal with and trying to get better at, that then, you know, hopefully could trigger and see some benefit in the audit, if that makes sense. So it's something where, you know, we have the required disclosures in here. We have what we kind of garnered from previous audits, as well as speaking with current management. And, you know, again, if something else needs to be kind of addressed in that, that's something that, you know, you all internally can work through and let me know prior to issuing the financials.
Thank you, Jorge. Okay, Bella, you've got a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, Jorge. So I wanted to let everybody know that the board and elections costs are separate from legal. So I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned over, you mentioned reconciliation earlier.
Excuse me, somebody needs to mute.
Yes.
Thank you. Go on, Bella.
Yes, thank you. So, you mentioned reconciliations, of course, you gave us an example. I have been requesting bank reconciliations, maybe going back to 2005. I don't see bank reconciliations. I don't know how to justify what we are told is at the bank. We don't get balance sheets, right? We only get a P&L, which is untenable. Okay, moving on. I noticed that the board expenses, LSB elections expenses, has gone up from last year to this, from fiscal year 20 to fiscal year 21. By $114,625. I need to know why that is, and I do not think that you would be able to address that, but Walter would, and I would like to hear that. And let's see. And the principal, how is it that the loan has not changed from 3.165 from fiscal year 20? When in 21, why there has been no change for the principal? Because we
thank you,
made
Bella.
A sizable,
I think we get that.
Excuse
we get that.
Me, I am finishing my thought.
Like
we have made a sizable payment from the sale of the KPFT building. Is that going to show up on fiscal year 22? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you can address the others.
Yeah. George Walter, again, we can get our heads, put our heads together and figure out why that line item in the functional expenses went up. I don't particularly have those details right now, but that's something where we can get an answer to you. So,
okay, thank you.
Okay, and Adriana, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I have, I know that you say page one, you talk about the, it's not opinion of the internal controls. Obviously, probably that will be something else in the management letters. I hope so. And I have a problem with the, I think that Elizabeth Milos asked about that. Where is the cost of, for WBAI, for all the destruction of material when they shut down WBAI, where that should be. And the third thing is, you say at the beginning that we have 120 days till the end of the period, the fiscal year that was September 30. Obviously we are late, but in May, we were told that we were almost there, and we are more than 2 months after that, and that is not yet finalized. Is any specific problem that you encounter, or is, I don't understand. What was the change that took us 2 more months? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak, you know, I know there's a lot of work in preparation that goes into getting ready for the audit. You know, we really started the bulk of the work in June. And I can't speak to, you know, what people were saying in May or whatever, but, you know, the audit went pretty smooth from when we really started and got a, you know, solid set of financials and trial balance and stuff from the NETA team. But I can't really speak to what happened before that. I will say that, you know, again, but it does take a while to get all the information from the different systems and the different stations to get a complete picture of the finances, which is, you know, again, part of the problem as to why, you know, some of these things aren't, why some of the audits aren't 100% current. But I wouldn't, say that's indicative of an audit failure. You know, we worked, and NETA did a great job getting us what we wanted, getting us what we needed on a timely basis. And I know they worked obviously with the station managers, and things moved along fairly at a good rate of speed once we started the process. So, you know, it's been almost about 2 months, and I'd say that's actually better than what we've done in the past for these audits. And that's about average as well for organizations your size with different locations and stuff like that. So I wouldn't, just because we're in August here, it may have not met your expectations or other members, but I wouldn't say that's indicative of any audit failures. It just takes a while to get everything together and ready for, to get an audit ready, frankly. The other point I wanted to make is, regarding internal controls. So yeah, we're not obligated to provide an opinion on internal controls. That's not the purpose of this audit. I know that's not what you want to hear. We have to understand how things are being processed and going on during the year under audit to help shape our audit plan. So, you know, if we find that maybe something, you know, doesn't have, station doesn't have a great set of controls, or maybe there wasn't an office manager present for a certain point in time, we need to help. That helps design and shape our audit testing, but that doesn't mean that we can issue any opinion on these controls. And so we have to come up with, I mean, if we see certain things and during interviews or whatever, we'll have to come up with comments and things. And that's what you've seen in management letters in the past, but that's, we're not obligated to test controls and issue opinion on controls in this audit. So, that's not to say that, you know, there's things that we haven't noticed or that we've noticed in the past that's been put in writing, which you will see and that you have seen in the past in past management letters.
I'm sorry, and the last one point, where the loss of WBAI for the shutdown, where I can see that? Those losses are included.
The losses.
Exactly, where they are included.
Now,
Jorge, I could chip in.
Go ahead, George.
The WBAI losses, I never saw them recapped, but that was in the prior year. Anything that happened in that would have been the prior year, not this year's audit.
The shutdown happened in October 2019, so it should have been included between October 2019 to September 2020. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
And so, I mean, for the fiscal year ending 2020, WBAI was reporting a loss of almost $400,000. So it's obviously within the operations here somewhere, but I can't speak to that specific event, but they did lose money per this supplemental schedule, this extra schedule that you all have in here, to the tune of $400,000. And that's just WBA station wide for that fiscal year ending. Okay.
Okay.
So it's not a specific point where you can see that. It's just included in this activity. For the division, the division that's here on your screen.
Thank you, Jorge. Donna hasn't spoken yet, so go ahead, Donna.
Oh, thank you, Eileen. You know, Mr. Jorge Diaz, I really appreciate the work, the effort. I don't have any specific questions. I really would like to just put forth a motion to accept this audit report. I hope that's not out of order, but I think this looks good to me. I'll put it that way. Thank you.
Great. Madam Chair.
Yes, Bella.
Yes, I have a couple of questions for Jorge and a clarification.
Okay, but they need to be very quick. And
yes,
then,
I'll try to be brief.
Because
you've
already gone your number of times. And so
so I was, Jorge, I was looking at the fiscal year 20.
Excuse me, though, we have a motion on the floor. So I think we need to go
through that
motion.
Yes, but we have a stack. There is a stack of two individuals on the stack. Before we take, you know, we make that decision.
I don't know about that, but go ahead. Just go ahead.
Thank you.
1 minute.
I noticed in the fiscal year 20, under the liabilities for WBAI, it's a whooping intercompany, interdivision, 8,497,813. Now, how could that be? That could have been part of the loss, but that should not have been a payable. That is astronomical for WBAI.
Let him answer
your question.
These are supplemental schedules that you all have in the audit. We combine and we eliminate all the interdivision payables and receivables because there's only one entity, and that is Pacifica, that we issue the opinion on. So the ins and outs of those accounts, you can see they actually get eliminated in consolidation. So,
yeah,
we can look and pull and see exactly what that is, but, you know, that's not the purview of this audit. That's something that's internally that, you know, if you all want to work through that, you can work through that, but this is, it all gets eliminated and rolled out when we issue the financials.
Yeah. So when you say eliminated, usually this is a write-off, correct?
It's eliminated in the sense that if a station owes another station money, then the other station has the receivable from that station, and then it just kind of gets washed out. So
it's an in and out. Your turn is over.
Bella.
I'm finishing now.
Your time is up. I'm sorry. It's getting very late. Your time is up.
Nita has been with Pacifica 4 years, not 2 years, or three years at least.
Bella, please stop talking. Adriana, it's your turn.
Thank you, George. Thank you for everything. And the last question that I have is, how big is the sample testing that you are doing?
So we have different, I can't necessarily disclose to you with a materiality limit, but we work with quantitative and qualitative measures, and we have different limits and scopes depending on what account or what class of transactions that we are auditing. So it kind of runs the gamut. So for example, you know, revenue recognition is always a big risk, not just for Pacifica, for any organization that we audit. And so we want to make sure that we get enough comfort in revenue recognition based off the materiality limits established. And because if we can't, then that means we can't give you a clean opinion. So there are various things that go into these materiality limits and the judgments that we make as auditors. We're never going to test 100% of something, and I think that's pretty clear in an audit. But depending on, it really just depends on what the class of transactions or what the balance is, or what, if any, if there's any inherent risks relevant to something. So, you know, to go back to simplistic example, cash, we have to confirm every cash account. So we confirm all the cash accounts, all the bank accounts, I should say. But again, after that, you know, really just depends on the audit plan and where the scope of the materiality limits fall within our purview in these financial statements. So again, it's not 100% of things, but we have a wide coverage and a wide range of all transactions throughout all the major accounts, transactions, and relevant things within your financial function.
It's a percentage that you can say about what I care really is about the money that they come to the foundation. I want to know if you can tell us a percentage or how big is the scope of your sample testing, because supposedly it's what we do with a forensic audit. I know that it's not what you are doing, but I care about that issue because we were told that nothing is up to date in some stations. And then I want to know that, till which point, what is the percentage that you really... Yeah.
Well, again, you know, part of that is there's a lot of work that goes, you know, that any ETA was doing to get ready for the audit, right? So I don't necessarily see what's happening prior to that. So I know there's some things that, you know, that we've known that for a while, that things aren't getting done timely or things need to get caught up, and they do their best to get me the complete set of financials and everything so that we can go starting our audit work. From the percentage standpoint, I can't really comment as to that because it's getting into our materiality, which materiality limits that I'm not necessarily allowed to disclose that to you. But I will say that for an organization such as you all, we need to get comfort, especially coming out of a qualified or not the best opinion in previous years. So we do have to do a lot of testing. And again, it just depends on the transaction class that we're doing. Revenue recognition will always be, heavily scrutinized and heavily tested. I can't give you an exact figure there, but we do a significant amount of testing to be able to support our opinion, because that's the biggest risk. I mean, if we don't test enough and give you a clean opinion, then that could obviously hinder my CPA status, our firm's CPA status, and everything. So there is judgment in the materiality limits, but I will say that there's a great amount of test work that we do in order to get comfort in that. Because if we can't do that, then, you know, I guess everyone would be able to get clean opinions, or people wouldn't be getting clean opinions because, you know, you could just test anything. But, you know, we're working within the professional standards of an audit, and we do hit all of the risky areas as well as all the non-risky areas quite hard in an audit. Particularly revenue recognition and also your core assets, which is really investments, cash equivalents, cash, stuff like that. So I can't give you an exact figure, but we do a very rigorous audit to be able to provide this clean opinion. So
thank you. Okay. I see that Sarah has her hand up. Is it a very, very quick question?
It is very quick. I want to acknowledge the motion that was just put on the table.
Thank you.
And second it, so if there's any discussion, let's have it, and then we can call it a night.
Okay. Or are there any objections to Donna's motion?
I have a point of information, Madam Chair, Bella DeSoto.
What is it, Bella?
I understand Fred put on the chat that we lost the audio for a while.
Yes, Bella, we're talking about the motion.
I need to know how much audio was lost. I want to know how much audio was lost.
Bella, he said 40 seconds. He said it in the chat. So if you saw it in the chat, read the chat again. Can we move on to this motion, please? Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the motion is passed.
And when will the management letter be forward?
Excuse me, we're not quite done with this motion. And please ask to be recognized. Those are the rules. You have to follow them, Bella. And it's very distracting when you don't. Okay, so the motion to accept this audit has passed. And then we will, I guess the secretary, is that right? Adriana, you will send a notice to the PNB to advise them that we have accepted the audit and recommend that they do likewise.
Yes, sure.
No, we have text.
If you don't mind, Madam Chair, it's very, what I heard is very simple, that Donna Grimes' motion was to accept the
yes.
And was seconded by I'm sorry, Sarah Brown. Is that correct?
Yes, but that's
yes.
What it implies. If you prefer that I do it, I will do it.
No, that is my function. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Okay, I think we are done with this part of our meeting.
Madam Chair, may I be recognized, please, before you adjourn?
I'm not adjourning quite yet. Elizabeth has her hand up. Elizabeth, please go.
Yes, so we've already accepted the audit,
yes,
correct?
We have, yes.
Okay, I have a concern that I want to bring up regarding the motion that we had already passed at the second to the last meeting regarding...
Okay, we're going to not talk about this.
No, I have...
Excuse me, until
what?
Excuse me, until we let our guests go.
Okay, that's
okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank
yes.
you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I want to know when the management letter will be sent to
us.
I asked that question, and you are not allowing me that question.
Because we will be informed when it's ready, he said.
I want a timetable. I would like a timetable.
I think it would be in the next, week or two.
I cannot hear you.
Elizabeth? I muted you, Elizabeth, because that was your background.
Yeah, so it should be ready. And we're focusing on get this and then get the 990 done, which is due a week from today. And then it should be ready. So I would think in the next 7 to 10 business days, you will. I will get
okay,
the management
great.
Letter to management, which then will be circulated to you all.
Thank you, Jorge.
Okay.
But Bella, we are not going to hold Jorge to that timetable. He has up to 60 days. Who knows what other things could intervene? So we will not be bothering Jorge to produce.
You need not make that comment. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
You
right.
are the
Thank
chair.
You,
you are the chair. You should not be
Bella,
making those comments.
Bella, don't tell me anything. Jorge.
Thank you all for your time.
So much.
Thank you, Jorge.
George,
much appreciated.
Thank you, Jorge.
George, Julia.
Jorge, good report.
Okay,
thank you.
Good night. Bye, Jorge. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Walter, George Walter.
Yes, I recognized him, but I guess he left. Okay, now it's just us.
Right.
Okay.
I motion to adjourn, Madam Chair.
I object.
No, I'm sorry. I have my hand up.
Oh, I'm so
yeah,
sorry.
Me too.
I take it back.
Bella, stop talking. You don't know how to ask for the floor except occasionally. Could you don't even talk now, please? Adriana, go ahead.
Yes, Madam Chair. It's something that really caught my attention. I'm really worrying me. We know that we are officers of, we are elected officers, the chair and the secretary. I'm really worried because I wasn't in that meeting, but in the June 29 meeting, this committee, we have in the June 6 a different, in May 16 a different motion, but in June 6 you passed a different motion, June 29, I'm sorry, this committee passed a motion, and I believe that I maybe I'm wrong, but I heard you talking to the PNB in the July 7 PNB meeting against that motion from this committee. I want to be clear in that, Madam Chair, because we officers, the only thing that we do, we organize the committee, but the decision of the committee cannot be changed from any of us. And that really worries me. And that's why I want to give you the option to, to explain what happened.
Yeah, I was asked after presenting the motion to the PNB, and the chair of the PNB asked me if I thought this motion would help to accelerate getting the audit done, and I replied no, because it wouldn't have. It would have caused more people to do more work instead of working on the audit. It would have delayed the audit. And that motion for the audience, that motion had to do, Elizabeth, please mute yourself. Let me finish the stream. The motion had to do with asking the PNB to direct the finance committee to conduct an investigation of a particular unit's finances to see if there was some kind of delay going on that was affecting the audit. I believe that was it. Feel free to correct me.
Yes, but the problem is that we have George here telling us that when I asked specifically in the June 6th, I said it means that the problems are solved. He said the recording of the, you know, the income. And he said, no, I didn't say so. It means that even George Water told us that the problems were not being solved. We knew that we'd not change this audit. But what I hope that our motion will do, we have the chair of the National Finance Committee asking us to facilitate it, to make that motion to the PNB, then the PNB will direct them and they will investigate what the problems are. Because we're not blaming anybody. We are asking what the problem is, because George told us that we have a problem. Then I believe that is our obligation.
But then George himself
went back and to do it.
Well, I don't want to get into this discussion now. It's getting very late. Donna, thank you. I'm sorry you have to go.
Can I be recognized?
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Donna.
Could I be recognized, Eileen?
Give me one second to think about this. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. First of all, that motion did not have any kind of timeline associated with it. That it had the motion that we had originally passed was as a result of a response that George gave us to a question that the chair of the finance committee did, which station was the one in charge of...
I understand. Okay, we can all go, which I don't station? Really want...
No, let me finish.
Can you please allow let
me finish,
Elizabeth
please.
Speak?
You can quiet, Bella.
Let me finish, please, okay? Thank you. So it did not have any timeline associated with it where it either implied or not implied that it would somehow affect the audit. And so I believe that your response was misinformed at best. And
no.
I also find it very... Let me finish, please. I also find it very difficult to understand if when you had already apologized at the previous meeting for not sending that motion because you did not agree to it, and something that you apologized for because your role as chair should have been to send it, which the secretary did send it. And in the middle of the last meeting that we had, we realized that Adriana, the secretary, had sent the original motion. However, we agreed to change that original motion at that last meeting I was given the impression that because we were mentioning one station that it somehow or another would have problems at the PNB level. So therefore, that's why we agreed to change it, to make it basically what that motion said was that we were urging the PNB to direct the finance committee to look into any unit that has a delay in the audits, okay, in being able to hand in the financial documents to conduct the audits in time, time.
We know
and
this
to seek recommendations. No, you made it,
okay.
You stated something different when you just said about the, it had nothing to do with any timeline related to the present audit.
No, there wasn't a timeline. Excuse me. I was asked was this
and
going
your role,
to...
Your role, I'm sorry, I did not finish. Your role.
It was very anti-ethical
of you to do that as a chair, to motivate against the motion of your own committee. That's not ethical, okay? And so I'm very concerned, and I'm having difficulty trusting you, okay? That's a problem, because you had already apologized at the previous meeting for doing something that was not correct. And again, you did this. So I'm very concerned, and I hope you don't do that again, please, because that's not in your purview as chair to do so.
Okay.
The motion that is passed by this committee, you as responsibility as the chair is to motivate it, not demotivate it.
Please don't lecture me.
Thank you.
Can we adjourn this meeting?
We have two people that want to speak.
No,
please,
hold on.
You
hold on. It's my turn, damn it.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Yes, I want to reiterate, Elizabeth was very long-winded in saying something very simple, which is you are not allowed as chair of the committee to, in the face of a question, and I imagine I know who asked you that, somebody who was at our meeting and opposed the motion from the outset.
Nope.
He brought up at the meeting, I know how they work. And that discredited the thing.
Okay, this conversation is going into imputations and implications.
No, you are being held accountable. You, as chair, are being held accountable. And you do not want to be held accountable over and over again.
Please stop yelling.
Bella, I still have the floor, okay? And when someone asks you that, you should say, Eileen, you have the motion before you. It was passed by majority vote. That's what you have, not my opinion, but the vote. We spent a lot of time on that.
Right.
And I believe that that sheer question to you by that poorly intentioned person, I can guess who it was, that could ruin the whole thing. Make everybody think, oh, it's not really good because Eileen is the chair of the committee. So that discredits all of us, and that's not
correct.
You mustn't do that anymore.
Duly noted. Duly noted.
Okay. All right.
We don't need to take this any
You
further.
Need to apologize. That's what you need to
I
do.
I have
again.
Doesn't
again.
Need to apologize. She needs to just know how we feel. That's
I know how you feel, and I hear you.
Thank you.
I was asked that question, and I answered the question. So I'm not apologizing for that.
No, you shouldn't.
There is a motion to adjourn on the floor.
You shouldn't.
Does anybody want to second that? Not that we don't need a second.
I second it.
Fred seconds it also.
Thank you, Fred. You can cut the stream. Good night, everyone.